So welcome everyone. Delighted to say we're live today on LinkedIn, YouTube and Twitter actually today. So if you're watching us, thanks for joining us. I know there'll be people who are watching live who join at various times. And then obviously there's plenty of people who watch this after the fact. If you are watching it live, or actually if you're watching it afterwards, please feel free to put any questions in the comments as well. And obviously we'll either cover them during the conversation as we are speaking live, or I'm sure somehow we can get them to Emma and we can answer them afterwards as well. So we'd love to hear from you, comments, questions, all that kind of stuff. So today, for those who are watching, you can see on the screen, we're talking about how to create a positive impact on people, the planet, and a small business. So before we go on, actually, probably, Emma, do you want to just kind of introduce yourself and what you do, and then we can kind of dig into the conversation?
Yeah, sure. So hello everyone, I'm Emma, I'm the Head of Operations at Profit Impact, and we're an organisation that essentially supports small businesses to either start their sustainability journey, so ensuring that they're setting their business up for success without wrecking the planet or hurting people in the process, or they might have already started their sustainability journey and needing a little bit more support in how they can do more of that good stuff that they're really proud of. We cover a couple of areas in particular, like net zero and how to become a B Corp, but ultimately we also do kind of the big wide strategy piece as well. So as you'll see in this conversation, sustainability is quite huge and quite large, and we like to be able to chunk that up so it's into manageable, kind of manageable chunks for businesses to be able to incorporate into their day-to-day.
That's great. So first of all, thank you for we had a couple of mornings already in the comments. So Helen, thank you, Helen. I know this is an important thing for you and Sarah as well. So thank you both of you for joining us. And I can see there's quite a lot of other people, which is brilliant to see. So we use the word sustainability there, Emma, and for what I know, that obviously we can use that in various different contexts, and it can mean different things to different people. But do you want to kind of just maybe in your world, what is sustainability? What does that mean to you? And when you talked about things that you've just talked about.
Yeah, sure. So you're spot on there, Mike. Sustainability is one of those words that kind of gets pushed around a lot. And obviously we've named this session as about creating impact. And essentially, sustainability is the big umbrella term of around kind of what impact are we having on our planet, on our people, but from a business perspective, also kind of what economic impact are we having as a business. So sustainability for me is kind of as an individual, but also with my head of operations hat on, is how can we be a steward to the environment? So how can we ensure that we're leaving the environment in a better place than we started, or, you know, an even better place than when we started? So looking at how can we ensure that we're preserving ecosystems, we're conserving resources, we're actually making sure that the planet has the resources to live and breathe. And I think also there's a debate there, isn't there? Because we always go, if we don't do something about it, the planet's going to end. Well, actually, the planet will survive without us. It's more about how we're ensuring the planet is going to be an ecosystem that humans can live on. So it's kind of flipping it around and going, how do we make sure Earth is going to be a place where humans can survive? But also, I think, you know, the environment gets a huge kind of a huge narrative around it, but sustainability is broader than that. We also look at social equity as well. So people within the planet, what are we doing to treat them fairly, to make sure there's no discrimination, to make sure they have access to, you know, equitable resources, whether that's fairness, social well-being, whether it's inclusivity, social mobility. So, you know, some of those targets around reducing poverty, reducing food hunger. And then from a business perspective, your economic impact. So how is you as a business or an individual contributing to the wider economic growth of whether that's your local community, whether it's the UK, obviously where I'm from, or on a much wider scale, as on a global scale as well. So there's three areas: people, planet, profit. And how are you creating the best and most positive impact in those three areas to ensure that each three areas are intertwined but also thriving alongside each other, and one of them isn't trumping the other?
Yeah, before we kind of go into the how, and also we're going to be on this for about 20 minutes or so, so we can't solve all the world's problems in 20 minutes, but hopefully we can start a conversation and start people thinking about it. You know, it's obviously something that, whether it's environmentally or otherwise, has become bigger over the last few years. And I guess the other stuff you talked about there about people and treating people rightly and doing all those things that we kind of know we should do. Do you think the pandemic has had a big effect on that, and more people are now aware of that as a thing to think about, I guess?
Yeah, I think the pandemic, wrongly or rightly, did a lot of things to the world. So obviously it was a real struggle for a lot of people, and obviously we lost a lot of people along the way as well. But I think it allowed people to reconnect with their own self, and particularly around their values as well. So, and obviously lots of things happened, whether it was during or post-pandemic. You know, the Black Lives Matter instance was one of those things that really kind of triggered people's trauma, but also thinking about actually how equitable is the world as we stand. We think we've progressed, but actually, you know, particularly in most recent years, it feels like we're almost going a little bit backwards. There's a huge narrative at the moment around the LGBTQIA community and some of the laws that are coming into place. So I think whilst people have grown in confidence and awareness and kind of leaning into, okay, we need to be treating people more equitably and more fairly and with kindness and compassion, did COVID start that? There's probably some kind of ripple effect there. But I think what it did help was just people having the time to pause and think a little bit more intuitively of what matters to them. I know I certainly went on that personal journey and was like, actually, what is my purpose? What is my why? And that's one of the things that we try and bring into businesses as well. It's like, well, why does this business exist? And what is the impact that you're wanting to create? And what do you want to leave future generations in terms of the legacy that you create as well? So it's not just traditionally around profit, but actually around the large ecosystem, as we've mentioned, in terms of people and planet. How are we ensuring that's all built into the bigger picture?
Yeah, I think you kind of answered really well what was going to be the next question about kind of why we need to do it. And I think it was kind of hopefully for most people, it's quite kind of an obvious answer. And I think most anybody watching this who's interested or listening to this probably know why we need to do it. So I think that's important. But then also the title of this conversation is how. And I think you touched on it earlier, especially around the environment, it feels like such a big thing. And it obviously is a big thing. And it feels like almost, for many individuals, small businesses, wherever it may be, that we have on an individual level such a little impact, or it feels like that I don't know where to start because it's so complex. But like anything, if everybody does their little bits, that's where it adds up, doesn't it? So what type of things can me, you, and everybody watching, listening to this, what things can we do now that can start to have an impact? And we're not solving the world's issues, but we're starting.
Yeah, we hear this a lot actually at Profit Impact in terms of we're too small. Like, what difference can we make? Surely the larger organisations have a better chance of doing that. And actually, it's the larger organisations' responsibility to do so. But I'm just going to drop in a few numbers to kind of just reset that bar in terms of actually the influence that SMEs actually have. So I think it's about 99% of all businesses in the UK fall into the SME category. So just that figure alone is like, wow, actually we take up a huge proportion of the business environment. Also, there's kind of stats around 77% of SMEs are in the UK supply chain. So again, we're integral to business within the UK being an SME. And also just from a job opportunity perspective, so even thinking about social mobility, I think it's over 60% of the private workforce within the UK come from the SME market. So actually, when you kind of look at, we take up a huge proportion of, you know, business and the economy within the UK as a starting point, we hold a huge amount of influence at the same time. So whether that's within our supply chain, so influencing our suppliers to do better or be better, or one of the things I always say is lean in with curiosity. So again, what we do at Profit Impact isn't necessarily about training you up to be an environmental scientist, but have that confidence to ask those why questions and can we be doing something better or doing something differently? And I'll come on to that in just a moment. But the social mobility piece in terms of SMEs generally are more connected to their local communities and more connected to some of the values within the local communities, or nationally even more so. So you'll find that there has more of a lean in towards perhaps looking at disadvantaged groups and how we can get them into employment or getting more women into leadership positions, that sort of thing. And we're seeing an increase of women founders as well coming into the sustainability space, but also within just business in general, which is great to see this kind of shift in gender equality, which is again something that sustainability would look at. But as a small business, those things of, but where do I start? And I guess that's the point, isn't it? It's like, we want people to start, we want people to be able to kind of take that first step with their sustainability or impact journey, because I think because it's so huge and so complex, sometimes that creates paralysis and people go, I just don't know where to start, so I'm not going to. And actually for us, it's about actually, no, there is lots of small quick wins that you can do to get started, and some of that comes from that curiosity space. So it might be kind of looking at recycling. Okay, well, as a business, what do we do with our waste? Does it go all in one bin? Do we separate it out? Can we reduce our amount of waste that goes to landfill, for example? Is it energy? Are we with a renewable source energy provider? It sounds really simple, and a lot of the time it is, but are we turning the lights off when we're going out of rooms? Are we turning our equipment off when we're not using them? One of the businesses we worked with in Barnsley was a bakery, and they were able to kind of, I don't think their energy bill increased following the global energy price increase, because they implemented training for the staff about energy usage, and also just posters in their factory going, turn off the light when you leave the room, and they didn't get an increase in their energy costs. I mean, it's a little bit more, sophisticated than that when they introduce kind of automatic switchings of the lights off and etc. But those little small wins still create an impact on the business in terms of just cost savings, but also on the wider kind of bigger sustainability piece. So, and another thing is businesses, is who are you banking with? Sometimes it's those decisions that you can make that really put your money where your mouth is. So obviously if you bank with a certain institution, they'll use that as part of their funding rounds and whatnot. But have a say in where you hold your money, because then you've got a say of where that money is then directed to. There's banks like, I think it's Tridos, that don't, use it for fossil fuel kind of investments. Great. You've already done something. It's the same with your pension. You can do things around looking where your pension is invested and making those kind of decisions on an individual level from a sustainability piece. I'm going to stop there in case anything you want to pick up on there, Mike.
I think it's a really good point, because I think, kind of what we were saying earlier, you can't solve all the problems. None of us individual can solve all the world's problems. But I think as a business, a good place to start is just pick one area, one thing you can get good at, or which has the most impact. So I'll use an example for me. I know the thing I have changed in my business over the last few years is that obviously we hold a lot of events in person. So that involves travel for numbers of people. So now when we have events, pretty much everything, the first thing I look at, essentially public transport and actually trains. So, I can't change the fact, I can't make a decision on somebody how they travel to our events. That's not my place to do so. But my place is to make sure it's somewhere where it's easy as possible for people to get to. Just about every event we have now is within basically a walking distance of a train station. That's kind of to me, it's not a massive thing to do that, but it's a nice simple thing. And it's probably a thing where actually has quite a big impact. And so then obviously educating people about when they come to the event, you can get there. It's close to X train station. It's a 5-minute walk, whatever that might be. So that's something I've identified as an area. And I don't doubt there's other things, and we could be better, no doubt about that. But I think it's picking one thing to start with.
Exactly. Like you said, and you just said something, we could be better. Well, actually, no one's perfect in the sustainability space. I think there is this fear of getting it wrong as well. It's like, actually, doing something is better than nothing. So, and as long as you're transparent with that, then people are more likely to come on the journey with you and support you and kind of celebrate the wins with you, as well as kind of go, okay, well, you didn't quite get that right, but you know, we know you're transparent and you're trying your best to be more sustainable or create a more positive impact. So we're going to stick around for what the next bit of the journey is. And I think that's something that's really, really important, is being able to kind of lead with example, and sharing the good, bad and the ugly. I know I read somewhere recently, someone, I think it was a marketing agency actually, was measuring their carbon footprint, which is another thing that you can look at. And their footprint was going up year on year and year. And actually, it wasn't necessarily they were doing more harmful stuff to the environment. What they were doing was getting better at data collection. And they were getting more aware of where the impact was happening on an environmental level. So now they've got a really robust reduction plan in place. So it's not about hiding the fact that it's gone up year on year. And they were quite transparent and went, it's gone up. Why? You know, it allows you to kind of ask those why questions and be curious about it. And that's what you need to kind of foster in yourselves and your business, is that curiosity. But I would also say that sustainability or creating a positive impact, you have to create space for it. It can't be something that you pick up one day, leave it for a few months and come back to it and expect things to have changed. You need to create space at the table, whether that's your boardroom, whether it's your, you know, strategy meetings, whether it's a weekly meeting, to make sure it's in that decision-making process. Otherwise, nothing will kind of move or change. You'll just kind of go, okay, we need to do something, but no action follows. And that's the thing that we're trying to empower people to do, is recognize it, but what are we going to do about it?
Absolutely. And I think a couple of things for me is, like, pick a lower hanging fruit. So the example you use there of a bakery and energy, that without knowing anything about the business, that seems like an obvious place for me. Again, me with events, that's like an obvious place. But I like to back that up, really, that I think the more you think about it, the more you think about it. And you know, I found in personal life, so I switched to an electric car, best part of a couple of years ago now. I drive less now and I get the train more since I got one, because I'm thinking about it. Sounds kind of like counterintuitive to an extent, but I think once you start on that journey, you do start thinking about the other elements of it. One of the things I want to cover as well is kind of, I guess, from a business point of view, you know, we like to measure things, we like to understand, we like to strategize and plan. So how would a business, if you sit down and say, okay, I want to make an impact, I want to be better, so how do you do that? How do you define that?
Yeah, I think there's taking a bit of a step back before the data and measuring and kind of analysis piece is kind of really looking at your own core values and purpose. Like, as a business, why do you exist? And like I referred to earlier, it's like, what, you know, if you were to retire or leave the business tomorrow, what do you want people to say about your business, and what do you want people to know about your business? And then you kind of look at, well, how am I contributing to society in that respect, and what's that impact then having on the environment, and then what's that impact having on kind of the wider economic perspective. I think with any kind of measurement, you always have to have some goal in mind. So we generally talk about a business impact goal. So, for example, one of the things that we do at Profit Impact is donate 3% of our revenue to the Trussell Trust, because actually it aligns with a sustainability development goal around no hunger. And that's one of the ways of linking the two. So not only have we kind of looked at our own, what can we do? We've also kind of aligned it to an international framework. So it's not about reinventing the wheel either in terms of setting these goals. It's kind of looking at what already exists. And SDGs are generally what I would class the simpler of those kind of frameworks to hook your goals into. But there might be other kind of impact goals that you look at. It might be having a percentage of female members on your board, or it might be actually our team as a whole business carbon footprint is X amount. So it's kind of really, like you're saying, identify those one or two things that you can start with and really kind of feels motivating and feels inspiring and feels like something that you can achieve. So that's the realistic part of your SMART goal. and then creating an impact goal around it. Now, I've kind of simplified that slightly, but what we then do is put that into kind of a bit of a scorecard alongside, you know, all the other business operations things that we measure, like revenue and profit and your marketing and your sales stats and all the rest of it. So it sits within our operational kind of KPIs, and it's not a standalone either. But in terms of knowing what the goal is that you're trying to achieve, then you can go and say, well, have I got the data to support that? Yes or no? No? Okay, well, we need to start tracking it. We need to start collecting it. Where and how are we going to do so? Yes, we already do that data. We already collect that data. What's the quality of it? Is it good enough, or can we do better? So again, it's kind of starting from a very curious mindset and beginner's mindset to go, okay, well, what do we have? What don't we have? And how do we plug the gaps? And then how do we turn it into this regular evaluation communication cycle? But I guess the most important piece to that is not just stop at gathering, actually analyze it, learn from it, adapt and evolve with it as well. So data is really powerful if it's good data, to then inform decision making, isn't it? But bad data results in bad decision making. So there's a balance there as well. But again, for me, it's like, get started, get curious. Where's that data coming from? Where's that data? Where are you going to get that data from? Who are you going to get that data from? Is it you, or is there someone else in your team that holds that data? And really kind of assign those responsibilities across your team as well, if you have a team, to make sure you've got other people's buy-in and them to understand the why that data is important to the business.
Yeah, no, and I think it feels like we've scratched the surface only of this, and there's obviously a lot to do, and I'm aware of. So it feels like we could maybe do about 50 videos on this.
Yeah. That's why I mean it's so huge and complex. But
yeah, and obviously I'll ask that in a minute about what people can do as we move down the line. But one last question that you, and this came from, so you mentioned B Corps earlier. Mm-hmm. Now, some people may know what they are, some people may know what that is. I attended a seminar a couple of months ago now, but I knew nothing about it before, and I'm definitely not an expert, but I know a little bit about it now. And do you want to kind of briefly explain what that is, and obviously, again, for people to kind of have a little think about?
Yeah, so B Corps are businesses that have gone through a robust assessment, which has then been kind of verified by B Labs, and which is a global setup. We've got B Labs UK. They will look at things like your environment, your governance, your people, your D&I. I think there's six categories, customers as well, your connection to your local community. And you get rated on those kind of areas within your business, and you'll get a score per section. Those scores are then added together and you get an overall score. But as a B Corp, it's basically a certification to say that as a business, we've gone through this process to demonstrate our commitment to sustainability, to the point where we've also changed our articles of association. So we have embedded it within our organization. And to hold your B Corp certification, you then have certain requirements on a yearly basis, which is like creating an impact report, for example. It's a growing movement. I think there's around 2,000 or 2,500 B Corps in the UK, but more and more businesses are tuning into this fact to demonstrate that actually sustainability is a boardroom agenda item. And they hold space for it within their organization as much as we've talked about in this session today. You then join the B Corp community, et cetera, et cetera. But it's something that you can share with your suppliers and customers as a bit of a badge to say, it's more than a badge, but you know, you get the kind of badge from B Labs to kind of go, we are a recognized B Corp because we've gone through this robust assessment criteria.
Well, I have to say, you know, since I found out a little bit more about a couple of months, I never noticed it as a thing before. But since then, it's been like, once you know it, and you see, I've seen businesses say they are. And that influences buying decisions where possible. It's obviously, it can influence every buying decision, but it does some. And I've kind of going back to one of the earlier questions of what things can we do? Well, that's little things that we maybe all can do. Just have a look out for that. And if you're choosing between two brands to buy something or two restaurants or whatever to go to, that might influence your decision. That's a starting point that's not really affecting you, and you can make that little impact. Would you say that's fair?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think as individuals and even businesses, we have the power in where we spend our money, where we put our money and invest our money, don't we? So, you know, B Corps, if you see the logo, it's a B in a circle, essentially. You know that that organisation has gone through an independent verification to say that they are stewards for the environment and doing well by people. Obviously, your scoring means different things in different areas, and you can dig deeper into that. But I do know that B Labs themselves are kind of refreshing that criteria this year. I think it's going to come in next year. So they're making it more robust for organisations to actually get that that certification as well. So I think watch the space with B Corp, because they are growing, and it's growing more popular, particularly within the UK and globally. So like I think there's it started off in America, and it's definitely hitting all continents around the world. But yeah, I think, like you said, buying power is definitely something as an individual we can control.
Absolutely, thank you. So, you know, I'm aware of the time, but a little bit over where we're going to, one to two, but never mind, that's fine. There's so much to cover. Very last thing from me, if someone wants to contact you, find out more about what you guys do, where's the best places to go? And just to mention, obviously, if people need to find it, come to me if they need to as well. But for anyone who's listening to this as a podcast, which we'll release it as a podcast, I'll put it in the show notes and everything like that. But I'll let people know what they're supposed to go.
Yeah, sure. So you can find Profit Impact on LinkedIn. You can also go to our website, www.profit-impact.co.uk. Or you can email me directly, which is emma@profit-impact.co.uk.
Perfect. And like I said, I'll put all the details in there as well. And like anyone needs any help, just let me know. Just one last quick comment. Actually, Lisa very kindly put a comment there about the B Corp stuff. Went to an event earlier this year, really interested. So if you get the other, like I said, that's how I found about it. It was a bit of an accidental one. I was in a venue and there was an event going on. So I listened for half an hour and found out quite a lot of interesting things. So I'd advise anyone, you know, have a little read up on it, go to an event, whatever it might be, find out more, you know, it's the start of the journey. But thank you, firstly, thank you, Lisa, for that point. But thank you very much for that. And I was, you know, it's really interesting. Like I said, I think we can do more on this. But thank you so much for your time and the work you're doing as well.
Thank you. And thank you for everyone joining us today. Like Mike said, if there's any questions, then just feel free to give us a shout. And hopefully you'll see my face again, where we dig a little bit deeper in some of the topics that we've started to talk about today.
I'm sure we'll do that soon. So thank you, everyone, for joining. And thank you. That's brilliant.
Take care.